Message entitled today, When the Walls Fall. When the wall is broken. I'm coming from Nehemiah chapter 1 through 11. The book of Nehemiah is about a broken wall and the man that God used to raise it up and to build it up. The great wall of Jerusalem was demolished by King Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century BC as he finally gained complete victory over Judah. After the Babylonian captivity had ended, Nehemiah became cupbearer to the Persian king. God gave him an important task. In 52 days, and you can see that in Nehemiah 6 and 15, in 52 days, the wall around the entire city of Jerusalem was completely rebuilt. Oh, God is a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Do you have any walls that need to be rebuilt in your life? God can restore that which is broken. Let's say it again. God can restore that which was broken. When you look at this, the disobedience of God's people caused the wall to be broken, the Jerusalem wall to be demolished. They were God's people. Their disobedience caused the demolishing of the wall around Jerusalem, taking away their protection. Them into captivity. God's people, the people's disobedience. But the same God that permits some demolishing is the same God that rebuilds. And we got to understand that it ain't always about the troubles. Sometimes the trouble is just there that God may show up and show off, that the world will know that he's a promise keeper, a miracle worker. Oh my God. Nehemiah saw that. See, many times when we see situations broken, we go in despair. Hopelessness set in, and the enemy take us captive because he messed with our faith. See, he has to mess with your faith because the Bible says without faith, you and I can't please God. So he aims at our faith because he wants us to be God's people but not pleasing the God who made us his people. See, God want to be pleased. God want to be praised. And God want all of that from his people. So we have to understand, how do you really look? What perspective do you look from when you are the people of God with your brokenness? Do you see it as those who have no hope see it? Or do you see it from a different perspective? Do you see it from the lens of faith and say, it doesn't end here for me. It just get better. There's some trials and tribulations that we must go through. You know, I was saying, I was hearing the beautiful singing of the choir at the door, and Dr. Roney was on the door doing his duty and keeping everybody out to the proper time. I said, that's good. That's good. We said, that's good. That's what you want. They're getting it together. You can't come in. You can't come in either, Pastor, so that's good. Because that's what you want. You want to build up excellency when you're working for the Lord. And I thought about something in that little space out there with a few people and just talking while we were waiting to come in. I thought about something. And Danny, he's the historian from whence we've come. And I get my information from him because he has a lot of sisters and a lot of family over where we grew up at. And he was telling me about some friends that have passed away, that we all lived in the project together, and they're gone. And I was thinking about it. Over five people I knew left us in February. And now when I come back the first Sunday, I'm hearing about two more folk I knew that's gone. So God is taking folk out of here that you know. We know he's been doing it all along. But my point is, and I said this, I said, do you guys know God is only concerned, get this now, this is a sidebar. God is only concerned about what we do down here. I want you to think about that. I don't want you just to, no, think about, because it hit me out there. Every sudden I knew generally. But if some kind of way, out of all the things said out to talk, that hit me. When Danny told me about that, it hit me. Like God spoke to me, hey, look, because in heaven, I already know what you're going to do. And I know what you ain't going to do in heaven. I know what you ain't capable of doing in heaven. Because you can have a new body. You can have a glorified body up there. And everything up there going to stay in the perfect state that I intend. So my concern about my people is what you do on earth. So if you're going to do something for God, you better start doing it here and now. Don't you wait and say, well, when I get the glory, I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout. Let me tell you something. God is only concerned. And he has to be concerned because when you're on earth, and our flesh is not eradicated. It ain't gone nowhere. We have the tendency to disobey God. And then God have to allow some broken walls. Are you with me? So when you are waiting, to leave, realize, occupy till he come. That don't mean just do nothing. Because you can't do nothing for God when you're in glory. See, God got us in a world, underworld system, that's anti-God, that want to do its own thing. But you got to look at the world that's doing his own thing under the God of this world, which is the prince of the power of the air, which is none other than Satan himself. This is all the domain that they have. This is heaven for them. Because it don't get no better after here for those who have not been born again. But for you and me, we can't be slackers down here as though God has another place in glory before Christ Jesus, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and do something. God said, no. I know what you're going to do when you get here. There's no question. See, in heaven, there's no option of what you can do and what you can't do. Everything that have breath, gonna praise God. the elders, the angels, the saints. But he said, I want to know you're going to praise me down here. I want to know, even when the walls of your life are broken or torn down or demolished, do you believe that I can restore them? Jerusalem walls were down and Nehemiah, oh my God. Let me get back to the text for a minute. But I'm telling y'all something. Too many saints think it's all right to act like ain'ts because they're enjoying themselves. There's not a lot of pressure on them to praise God and give him glory in the ways he say so. See, Nehemiah, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it speaks about his commandments, his laws, his ways. All of those things deal with the word of God. I'm telling y'all something. If you're holding back on God with what you're going to give him, let it go. Because all he's looking at is what you're going to do here. It ain't no mystery to nobody when you get the glory. You see, you don't do nothing in glory to get crowns and things. God, the Bible don't speak about that. No. So I know what I'm talking about. What you do down here, your service to God brings about your rewards and your crowns. Cast at the feet of Jesus. Walk with me a minute. Can I talk to you from my heart? Can I talk to you from the overflow? I just got in this thing yesterday. Been in a minute now. Got preacher's sons under me. Don't hold back. Well, I'm going to act as nasty as I want to be while I'm on earth because God will forgive me. I'm going to do what I want to do, and if I find some time, I'll serve him. Now, I got to find it. It ain't like it's important. The other things I'm doing is more important than God. Mm-hmm. But when I see it from the proper perspective, the only thing he want to see is what I do down here, because he know what I'm going to do in glory. Now, when I look at my life from that proper perspective, then I get on the ball and say, you know what, I gotta do all I can with the few days he's giving me, because what I do here, not what I do up there. If I'm gonna get a reward, it's gonna be for what I do down here. If I'm gonna receive a crown, it's what I do down here. Have you ever thought about it that way, Sister Juan? But what it does, so just that moment that we were just enjoying ourselves because Ronan wouldn't let us in. But God said, I can speak to you from within and from without if you listen. See, the church needs to listen to the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost, you heard me say it many times, and the Bible speaks of it, is still speaking to the children of God. But the question is, it's not whether the Holy Spirit is still speaking, but are the children of God still listening? See, you can't even take heed to something you haven't heard. See, folk can put emphasis on take heed, and you should. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? See, when I begin to think right, I say, okay, that makes sense. So, Pastor, no, everybody's going to be cooperating now. You're going to do perfectly. Huh? Everything will be all right up there. You think you can play now. Woo! Watch them folk up there playing. And you would think he can strike them that ivory. He ain't seen nothing till he get the glory. Nothing going to be off key. But while we're down here, every now and then God got to break some walls in our lives. But he don't demolish them in the Christian life just to stay that way. He's always training us. There's a training going on. Even in Hebrews 12, that's just a training, a discipline that's going on, y'all. Anybody with me? Ah, I wish you could get with me and rejoice in this hope. I'm not talking about just screaming and hollering. I'm just talking about the spirit in you. Do it. He leaps when the spirit in another speak the things of the spirit. God spoke to me out there. He said, man, it ain't about heaven, what you gonna do. The to-do list, Riggs, that you guys having problem with is not the one in heaven. Because there's not gonna be a domestic war between the spirit and the holy in the flesh in heaven. That conflict, that confusion is down here on earth. When the Holy Ghost want to fill you and control you, at the same time your flesh want to do the same thing. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, your flesh speaks to you. And the flesh said, I don't care about you being saved. That didn't put a damper on my cravings for the things of the world. You want to do good, but evil is always present. Oh, my God, my God. Glory. Let me read Nehemiah, because y'all ain't going to hold me up all day, but I'm just telling you. How God spoke to me. I said, God, that makes sense. I mean, God, that's something. What are you saying to me with this? I can't shake this. It seems so simple. But God, I even spoke about a to-do list, and Steve wrote it up. You remember Steve? But anyway, but it was just, it was mean to me. It was dynamite. He said, when a person that's saved robbed me of their talents, of their treasure, of their time, they can't get that back. They cannot get no reward for it. Because when they're in glory, he said, I'm going to judge some of those things at the Bema seat. Huh? He said, the reason I'm going to try these things by fire to see what sort they are, because I want you to know it matters what you do down here. See, Satan will whisper in your ear, saints, it's okay because I serve a forgiving God. It's not okay when I don't even try to have a will to do what I need to do down here. And that's why I say this thing, the easiest thing, I'm going to make sure I do all of them. It's not going to be them easy things. It may be them things a little harder that I'm wrestling with, trying to get a hold of, or every now and then make a mistake. It may be them. So being that he's looking at what I'm doing down here, I may be able to show him a bunch of spiritual easy things. But when God said, you won't even show me the easy thing. And what you do, you put everything in the same category, they are hard. No, some things are not hard. Mm-mm. When you get the glory, he's going to try your stuff by fire. See what sort it is. Oh, yeah, if you save, you're going to be saved. But I don't know how much shame we're going to have. As I've heard stories of saints that lived and died and some on their dying bed say, I know why I'm here. There were some things that God had for me to do. I know about them, but I wouldn't do them. I was disobedient willfully, and my wall is broken, and I'm here. My body is broken, and I understand that. But if God speaks to us, okay, I'm going to give you a chance to get a few crowns. My brothers and sisters, take full advantage of it and get those crowns. Anybody with me? Okay, all right, let's move through. Nehemiah, now what I want to look at, that I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to go back and look at this. Like I said, all of us, we have some things which is broken and may have been broken at some time, broken marriages, broken family, broken relationship, and sometimes I like to say broken faith. Sometimes just to say, sometimes doubt start creeping in because some other things are broken in my life. Therefore, it put pressure on my faith and trust in God because of the other things that are broken. All right, and so. But here's the thing. There's some principles in Nehemiah that I want to look at in this chapter. You know, it's a familiar story and everything, but there's some principles here, the way that Nehemiah set this thing up. And here's the thing that I like about this. It's not always one way to do things for the Lord. Ain't always one way to pray or nothing like that. There's different ways, different people do it, because sometimes you don't have much time to pray. Or you say, "Help me, Lord." That's it. I'm sinking. Don't sit there with, "Brother, let me get down. Look, I'm going down for the third time." So it can be different. But it's here because that brought out. And I want to say this. Thank God for you prayer warriors. I want to thank God for you guys, okay? I love you. Keep doing what you are doing. You are most needed in the world that we live in. Because there's something about prayer. Prayer can change situations. Prayer can change people. Prayer. And I'm telling you, intercede. Pray for me. Pray for me. And don't buy that mess. Pray for yourself. Yeah, I'm going to pray for myself. You pray for me too. Because all through the Bible, I see intercession. And I see the great intercessor, Jesus Christ. Y'all pray for me. So my prayer may, boop, don't go through the ceiling. But old prayer warrior, get in there. Ah, go right to the throne of God. And lay right there in God, and he sat there and talked to you. When he's talking to you, have my name in that, Charmaine. I need it. You see, here's the thing. Even preaching God's word, my flesh is no more good than anybody else's flesh. Man, I tell you, people say some things to me sometimes I don't pay no mind. Then there's sometimes I think about those things. And I think about a lot of times, not necessarily thinking about me when they say something they say. I think about them. I say, my God, how do they think like that? I mean, it must be something because they you know. I had a fella to tell me, I don't want to be no preacher, no pastor. Lord, I done seen so much now. And I know all your brothers. He called out a few names. And he said, you know what? Y'all suffer. I mean, he was serious. He said, I just want to be a layman. And that's it. We get little stuff. He said, the stuff. And he was serious. He was serious. And he pointed out things he saw. So I knew he was serious. I think now, part of what he was saying, not so much that the laity don't get no problem, no situation, but they don't have to keep on serving God, speaking about hope and faith while they're going through it. No. He said, he was laying it out. And God said, be quiet, listen. Because that's how he think. He said, you go through them heavy hits. You still got to preach to people hope. You still got to be hopeful. In so many words, he's saying too, I don't have to. I don't have to preach to nobody. I can go ask for some help. I can go ask y'all pray for me. I can lay and wallow. Don't nobody really care. He said, but I watch. He named two or three of us. He said, I watch y'all. Man, y'all get hit with some terrible storm, and you keep on preaching. I'm telling y'all, this stuff is real, y'all. Anybody with me? Okay. Let me go on. Okay. In Nehemiah, there are some principles here. Okay. In chapter 1. The first thing we're going to see, one of my first points is, Nehemiah shows that we need to obtain accurate information. If you're going to pray for somebody, get as much information about the situation as you can. And here is something, people, when it's a prayer warrior, somebody sincere going to pray for you, not just really knows it. It's all right to give those people that information. You see, because if I don't need a dollar, but I need some healing, I don't want you to think I need a dollar. And when you got connection with my God on your knees to the throne of God with your prayer life, and God answer your prayer, and you just don't see, God say, watch as well as pray. God said, because if you're not watching, if you're not catching what's going on around you, you're just walking by not seeing it. How do you know how to pray accurately for it? So obtain accurate information. Be burdened for the lost before. Just be burdened for the lost. And people got different things that they're going through. And then you get down to the fast and pray for what is broken. In Nehemiah 1, it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chile, in the 20th year, as I was at Shushan, the citadel, the Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, see, he's gathering the information now. They said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. See, right now he got some information about the people he was concerned about. If you're concerned about someone's welfare, you need to find out what's going on with them. Do you see what I'm saying? He says, the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burnt with fire. So that's the information that he had that brought him to his burden. See, a lot of times we're not going to pray as we ought if we don't have the burden for the situation. And that's just, it's just true, okay? You see, he didn't have this heavy a burden until he got the info. And I'm going to tell you something else on the flip side of this. Don't have a lot of heavy burdens when you don't know what's going on. Sometimes you put yourself in trouble with thinking it's that bad. Huh? You ain't accumulated the accurate information about the situation before you plan it. Come on with me. I hit the flip side. So he asked. He said, I'm not there. You are coming from there. What is the situation? Every now and then you may be praying, and we should always pray and not faint. But every now and then you need to take the time. Say, because I am a prayer warrior. Because I'm serious about my prayer. But I need a little, I'm like Nehemiah. I need to know what I'm praying for, what I'm praying about, and how desperate the situation is. You see it? Anybody with me? Oh, we got some broken walls. And let me tell you something. When you're the one with the broken walls, let folk who's serious about prayer now, not just trying to be nosy. And by the way, everybody ain't trying to be nosy. I know some of them. I put that out too. Some just trying to be nosy. But don't you get locked in that everybody trying to be nosy, so you won't let nobody in. You see, sometimes you got a wall up and you're dying behind that wall. See, what I'm looking at is principles. There's some principles here of what Nehemiah did. And so I'm trying to point them out and not just read the story. Are you with me? Because he was a prayer warrior. And we know this. We know the story. But now let's look at now, we see that the burden is there now. Let's look at four. And then four. Let me get my eyesight back here. I don't know, this is good to me. So it was when I what? See, keep in mind, when says there was a time that something took place with me. Watch this, Sister June. He's saying, not before I heard, before I had accurate information. See, a lot of folks, you do a lot of things, and you don't mean no harm. Before you get the information. And sometimes you just go on out. But I'm not putting you down. But I'm showing you another principle here. Look here, Sister June. So it was when, not before, but when I heard. See, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when I heard the word of God, my faith began to come and to build. And I heard these things from the Bible, and I keep coming back. Because when I keep coming back, hearing more and more, it builds my faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Pastor preached the word of God because it builds my faith. I heard these words that I sat down. Now see, he had to sit down, but now he got a burden on him. Heard burden. Some of us have heard some things about folk broken walls, and it don't burden them. It don't become a load. Come on, somebody. It ain't that they ain't got the info. It just don't burden me. It says, I sat down and wept. I mean, I cried about that thing hurt me. And I mourned for many days. Man, I don't want to see him hurt like that. It bothers me. Let me tell you something. It's all right even being a great person, a great man of God like Nehemiah, to hurt, to cry. Because God is seeing that heart, and those tears are special to God. So every now and then, don't let folk who tell you, well, I don't care how it is, they just stiff. Now, Sometimes you're going to hear some things. Your voice is going to break a little bit. Tears are going to swell up whether they fall or not. Because you are concerned. You're not just concerned, you're deeply concerned. Because watch this. Because when they hurt, you hurt. Have you ever hurt for somebody? You say, Lord, wow, I think I'm hurting more. It hurt me to see this. But I like this. I like this. Because if we're not careful, those false theologians will tell you you don't supposed to hurt over somebody else's broken walls or burdens. This man, he said, I didn't have this pressure on me until I heard your story. Heard how they were treating you. Heard what you were up against. No. When you my brother, we serve the same Christ. We are fellow laborers in the vineyard. I need you. You need me. It bothers me to see you hurt. I got to sit down on this one. That's a load on me. And sometimes when you get the information, sometimes you cry more than the person do. And it's all right. I want to free some people today. And I want to give you some spiritual principles from the Bible that you can see. Not what I make up, come on, over my head. Yeah, bro, Newman. Yeah. We heard with you, bro. But I want you to go back every now and then to that message I preach. I was as I was into my message, I came across the whole message that I preach. That blew a lot of preachers away up here. They're saying, wow, you give a whole. Yes, I don't know whether I'm gonna see these people again. But what I'm saying, for the Christian, I told you about what going down here, didn't I? But for the Christian, there's a connection down here and up here for us. So down here is where the body dies. And you put the body in the ground. But the person ain't dead. Brother Newman. Because what's dead, how did it die and be absent at the same time from that which is dead? It says they can't be absent from it until it dies. I can't go to be with Jesus in this body. Because nothing like this is going to glory. Huh? So it has to die corruptible. Am I right about it? Then I can leave and be with the Lord. But it don't end there. So when you keep putting all your heart on the body, the body is dead, but the person that operated the body is still alive. And not lost because we know where they are. But the body had to die because it's weak. And the curse of Adam. But God says the trump gonna sound. And the dead in Christ gonna rise. Not in that dying type of body, but another type. There's different bodies, celestial bodies and all types of other bodies, but we're going to get a glorified one. But if you don't pick up the biblical knowledge from the word of God, I'm preaching in vain because it's not gonna do your heart no good because you don't believe it. See, we got to bleed that down here. Because there ain't going to be no sadness in glory. There ain't going to be no tears in glory. No weeping in glory. You're going to be praising. Hallelujah. Glory to the God. Oh, glory to the Son. Hallelujah. Praise his name. I want to teach you if you let me. There's a lot of things when you enter into the spiritual realm, there's a lot of things, a lot of load you are carrying is unnecessary. You just don't know who you are in Christ. And not only that, you don't know who Christ is in you. And that's my job. I can't preach a bunch of crazy stuff. That ain't gonna do you no good. That's what got you messed up now. I love you guys so much. I love you guys. And I think about how God has blessed me with you guys. I was just thinking of today, you know, you get to yourself, get in your closet. I said, God, I thank you for them people at New Berean. I mean, my God, we ain't perfect by a long shot. I'm not talking about that, God. But God, they're some good folk. God, they're good to me. I love them. And when I come here sometime, and I be going tomorrow, and I look at your smiles. I look at you talking. I look at little kids coming in there bringing me or something, and then they stand around a little bit because normally you're not bringing me nothing. You're coming to get something, and that's my candy. But Frida don't let you come in here with my food, my bananas and stuff, and so they still stand around and say, okay, yeah, we doing this. Whoever brought me in here, we doing this, but we've been in here. We ain't had nothing in our hand, but we always leave with something. I said, hold it. I got up from my desk. Because it's about love, y'all. I got up from the word. And I was doing the word. What you mean you're doing the word? You got up. God said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And when they would suffer them little children to come, God, Christ got indignant. He got upset with them. Don't you dare hold them back. You bring the children. Every generation needs to know this. Am I saying anything that's helping you? Okay, all right. Okay, let me go and finish up because y'all already say I'm long-winded. But you know what? One thing I say about Brother Bernard, he said other stuff is long-winded, but don't put the long-winded on the word, as long as the man preaching the word. I put it on everything. Especially the word. Ain't no need for all that. Well, I know how your life is. And you don't even know your need speaking like that. We're going to go through something, y'all. Okay. But I still got to finish. Okay, where did I stop at? Okay, 4. Okay, all right. Oh, I stopped on the burden dinner. So I just keep moving now. It was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of who? Of heaven. And then now he's into his fasting prayer. He said, and I said, I pray, Yahweh, Jehovah, covenant keeping, covenant giving God, self-existing God, sovereign God of heaven, oh great and awesome God. Look here. Talk to him when you pray. Tell him who he is. You who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you. Observe your commandment. There it is. Remember I told you about the statutes and commandments? But we got to observe them. So whenever you heard the word of God being preached to you, observe them, okay? Obey them. Take heed to his commandment. Please let your ear be attentive. He says sometimes you got to plead with God. Let him know how urgent this thing is to you. Now, God know how urgent it is to him, but he like to hear you let him know how urgent this prayer request is to you. Your eyes open. Say, God, I need your ears open and I need your eyes open because I need you to see this situation. I know you can see everything, but from my humanity, as we see things, I just want to express myself. I want you to open your eyes that you may hear and prayer of your, heard the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. There's a continuation of prayer. I'm not just praying once and one and done. I am continuing, Lord, because this is a burden now to me. And I know sometime, God, you want me to spend a little time with you. And I haven't been spending the time with you. But I got a situation now that's dear to my heart. And it's causing me to spend that time with you that you've been missing from me. Huh? Day and night for the children of Israel. And he's praying for somebody else. You see, every now and then, it ain't all about you. Pray for somebody else every now and then. The children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. God, I know why you took us in captivity, because of our sins. I know why you permitted the wall to be destroyed, because of our sin. See, I like this. You hands up with God. Say, God, yes, I sinned. See, I'm not going to come before you and nickname it. You already know it was sin, but I'm coming confessing. So God says that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. Y'all see this? Which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. He said, I'm not just talking about those people in Judah. I'm not just talking about your people here as a whole, but I'm including my family too. See, No. You without sin, you throw the first stone. You ain't got no, if you don't have no sins, omission or commission, sins of ignorance, if you don't have no sin, you throw the first stone. He said, No, I'm including myself, God. See, he's serious about an answer. I'm not going to leave no stone unturned when I go before my God. No sin stone. So I'm going to get me along with the people I'm praying for and even my family. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments. No, God, we ain't keep all them commandments. We've been doing our thing. Matter of fact, yeah, we've been doing our thing, God. I'm going to tell the truth right now because something's burdening me now. The statutes, nor the ordinance, all that's the word of God, which you commanded your servant Moses, my God. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. I know what you did, Lord, to Jerusalem. I know what you did to Judah. I know. Because we didn't obey your commands or your statutes or your laws. Your word, God, we dismissed your word and we went on doing our own thing. I will be scattered you among the nations, but if you return, I like that. Oh, there's a return policy. It ain't all over. If you want the walls rebuilt, return. Huh? You could be going this way, doing your thing, embarrassing God, hurting God, not caring about how I'm making my God look, and I'm still naming the name of Christ. And now he got me scattered. He got me going through things. Got me spinning wheels, Sister June. But oh, I like this. I can turn. Don't tell me I get out of the way. You who didn't want me to turn. Huh? You who were signifying. Huh? But oh, I can turn. I can repent about faith. And now I can start walking with God again. See, some of y'all, I wouldn't. You ain't even saved. Tell me what you wouldn't do. Why am I listening to you? You're going to bust hell wide open, and you all in my ear, friend, I don't know why you were going to church no way. Say, I don't never go. Look how good I'm doing. You doing good, and this your only heaven. And when you take your last breath, look around you, folk are dying left and right, young and old. But I can turn. I can turn. See, the devil thought he had me. But I can turn, Sister Joan. When you pray for folk, realize they can turn. Don't you become the Holy Ghost. Huh? Don't you become, you praying other things, and you become the Holy Ghost saying what God gonna do. That's why, give me the word. Your opinion is your opinion. And we all got one. But you call it your opinion. But I'm going to set them the word. I want to know what that said, Lord. Didn't Nehemiah talk about how we didn't do your commandments, the word. We didn't do your ordinance, the word. We didn't obey your statutes, the word. So give me the word. Tell me what the word say I can do. Not what he say, she say. And whatever God do with me is none your business. I can be going the wrong way. But if I got breath in my body, I can turn. Preach the word of God so I can know my options. I can know my freedom. I can know the love of my Savior. Though my wall is broken right now, that he can restore it. He can build it up. And not partially around me, but all around me. He's my Savior. He's the love of my soul. Boy, say, I wouldn't have y'all job, Pastor. Wouldn't have it. How in the world you keep serving God like that? You broken. And you, how you gonna encourage somebody else? Because it ain't about how I feel, what I'm going through. That's why if I stick with this, it's not what does say Rick's. If I stick with what does say the Lord, I'm getting caught. Just knowing what he can do. Whether he do it for me or not, just knowing he can. And if he don't do it for me, guess what? He got a better plan for me. He got something better for me. Because all these things work together for the good to them that are called by the Lord, by his name. Huh? You got to believe it. You got to believe it. Anybody enjoy the word? I don't have nothing else. I don't have a whole lot of other stuff. And I know some people get bored with just preaching the Bible. You know, you ain't got all that fancy stuff to give it. Huh? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Not the fancy things. Not the preacher things. But thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I want you to get his word so you can hide his word in your heart, that you may not sin against your God. Let me come on off now. I'm Lord have mercy. I hadn't preached in a long time, so give me a break, okay? Give me a break now. After I get rolling, I'll make them shorter. But I ain't been up here in a long time. Now I'm getting somebody laughing over there now. Somebody, huh? Can I keep going? Okay then. I thought y'all would say sit down and I'll let somebody else go for about 2-3 more months. Oh, Lordy. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm at the end, ain't I? Where did I stop at? Verse 9. Okay, all right, because I don't want to keep going back. Okay. Verse 9? You sure it's not part 8? Okay, yeah. I'm over in 2. That's what that is. Okay. It says, remember, that's 8, 9. But if you, that's what moved me. Because, Charmaine, so many people is telling people that fell into sin, they ain't got no hope, I ain't got nothing to do with you, I'm not going to. And the way you talk, you want them, even though they saved, they can't go to hell. If you had your way about it, because they sinned, you would put them in hell. You follow what I'm saying? And you can't put them in hell, because if they're born again, they got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost ain't going to hell. He says, but if you return.
Now, you can't stay out there and keep doing your thing. You got to see this now. You're returning back to God. If you return to me, so don't hang out there when I heard the word of God, so that's good enough. I'm going to keep doing it. Return. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, return. Return to God. Return. Keep doing your thing. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Respect, reverence your name, Lord, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy. Mercy. I don't deserve it, but mercy holds back that I deserve. I deserve a whipping, but have mercy on me, Lord. Don't whip me. In the sight of this man. For I was the king cupbearer. And then two, you see him go to the king, and the king want to know, man, what's wrong with your face? You my cupbearer. You sip the wine before I do to make sure it's not poison. If it's poison, it'll kill you. And the way you looking, I don't know what's something going on, a conspiracy or a coup or what's happening here. So what's wrong with you? Then he began to tell him his heartbeat and what he needed and his request. He says, verse 4 says, then the king, in chapter 2, then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I got his favor now. God has put favor on my life, that now that the king is favoring me, and he's answering my request. But furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the regions beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he might give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Let me tell y'all something. When the good hand of God is upon you, folk in high places and positions will begin to grant you things, and don't know why they're granting them to you. But what it is the favor of God on your life. So when you walk in and ask for certain things, or don't ask for certain things, but you show up with the favor of God on your life, it seems like they want to give you things.